Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
On today's broadcast, we are going to India. Actually, our guest came back from India where he witnessed many miracles, hundreds of miracles. And I wanted to hear his story, the testimonies of what happened in India. And that is to encourage our listeners to realize that God is still doing miracles, healing lives and healing bodies. Our guest is Pastor Loren Widrick, and he is from New York. Hi, Loren. I am excited to hear what happened during your trip.
I'm glad to be here. I really count it a privilege. Thank you.
Oh, great. You went to India, all the way to India.
Yes, I am. I've done short-term missions in the past through, and some folks from our church have as well, through Global Awakening out of Pennsylvania. We've gone into Brazil, and I have a daughter that's actually been to India before and done a Bible school that she went to in Mozambique, Africa, with a missionary operation there called Iris.
Heidi Baker.
That's correct, Heidi Baker's operation. So she just came back this summer from there, and her, my daughter's name is Chris, and she may go with me again in the future sometime when I go to India, because I foresee going there periodically at this stage. But I went, I left home the 1st of December and returned on the 17th or 18th, and I was 2 days travel, and then on the ground for about 12 days there, and we did anywhere from 1 to 4 or even 5 one day meetings a day. It was a high tempo schedule we were on, and I got to actually stay with the people. I wasn't in a hotel or anything like that. I actually stayed in their homes with them and had a wonderful time.
Okay, and you got all that crazy food.
Yes, that was actually funny, because when I got there, we were going to do restaurants. Originally, I had it set up to go to a hotel and do restaurants, and they suggested maybe I stay right with them, which I thought was a great idea. I didn't want to impose, but that's what we did. And then they fed me the same foods that they eat, only they tried to tone it down a little bit to make it bland, because it's very spicy. And it was funny, the first time I ate, I remember thinking that the Bible says to eat what's put in front of you with cheerfulness and pray over it and just expect it to be okay. And I thought, this is going to test that in a big way, because I don't know if I can do this.
Tell us about your experience there. We'd like to know, you know, what happened.
Yeah, the first day I was there, they had a prayer meeting in the evening at the church, and I was, they told me I didn't have to come, but I wanted to go there. It's interesting how they're set up, the actual compound that I was in. I guess I'd call it a missions compound, but the pastor has a church that's built next to his house on a city block. Probably a third of the city block belongs to the church, maybe. We would do meetings, as I said, and the prayer meeting they did the first night went on for 2 hours. And actually, I was fascinated that the orphans, or the kids from the orphanage, which ranged in age maybe 5 years old up to 15 or 16, the older and anybody 8 or older was actually part of the meeting, and they were more intense and seemingly into it than even I'm used to seeing adults here. And it was really an interesting and fascinating experience.
I think that's a mistake sometimes to separate the children. Okay.
Yeah, I think so too. They're part of everything the adults do, or nearly everything, and that works out as a real blessing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, tell us some of the events. We'd like to hear what happened.
Sure. The second day, we started with church, which I got there on a Saturday. And then when I got up in the morning, they were doing their church, and they wanted me to minister, of course. So I did. In the session, I taught them, basically, I shared, of course, you know, an encouragement and so on, but the idea that God had sent me here to stir up his power and to bring miraculous activity to them, and to show them that not just was it here and available like in Bible times, but I'm nothing special. It's something that I wanted them to do. And wanted to talk to them about how God would use them in those ways. They they speak Telugu. It has its own language. Some of them share a language. Then they're also able to understand and usually converse in Hindi, and which is, but Telugu is the primary, which I don't really know any of. So I was doing all this through an interpreter. The church is run by two brothers that had me come there, Abraham and Andrew, and their last name is Samuel. Their father started the church nearly 20 years ago. He died when they were young. The younger of the two was 11, and the older was 14 when he passed away from some liver issues that he had. They have a lot of liver diseases that are mosquito fever, dengue fever, just very, and the list goes on and on, but it's basically mosquito-borne illnesses typically attacking the blood system through the liver, which I found fascinating that a lot of what they go through, that's difficult issue. Their dad had died from jaundice or from, you know, they don't know, some form of liver disease, and jaundice is what took him in. Basically, they downplayed it, but the older of the two brothers said that he had to grow up, very young and take on the role of the leader of the family and do that going forward. Now he's 32 now, so from 14 to 32, and the younger of the brother is 28. And the younger of the two brothers reached out to me 2 years ago. Well, he was interested in what we did with. And I told him I wanted to see them in person, not just finance what they're currently doing, but actually associate with them closely to make sure that things are done properly, and also to see what God would do. And then it occurred to me that maybe God was speaking to me that he wanted to touch people's eyes while I was there. So I shared that in the first meeting and explained how words of knowledge work, that God gives you a symptom or perhaps lets you see something, and there's numerous ways you can receive them. But basically, it prophesies what God wants to touch right now. And when I said that, I offered to those that had eye issues to go ahead and stand up, and I was absolutely in shock. There were probably 120 people in the building. It'd be normal, but it's not like they're not cared for. It is a modern society. There's cars, not as many as there are here, but they have cars, bikes, and motorcycles. And motorcycles are kind of the primary form of transportation for sake of being inexpensive, you know, for gas. And the roads are pretty rough in some spots that I was in. I was in the tribal areas, not in the main city. So that number stood up, and I just declared, you know, the way I typically do it, I did what I had seen. The folks from Randy Clark is an example at Global Awakening that I said over the pulpit, I commanded cold or something in their eye area, or if their vision improved immediately, hands, and then other people saw that, and a few more began to get touched anymore. Suddenly, he begins to move on them and improve it. And by the time we were done, I would say a third to a half of the people that were had at least an 80% improvement from where they were before they stood up. So I was just practically in tears. I was so happy and excited about it. And I went out then, and I walked down then, and this was the end of the service. I walked down and just prayed for each of the people that, all of them, but specifically those that hadn't had their hands raised so that they'd have another opportunity.
And God moved, and it was so simple. It wasn't complicated.
No complication to it at all. It was just basically, he wants to touch you. He's saying that to you. That was why he sent me to you, and wants you to do this same stuff, so I'm going to demonstrate how he does it, and it's kind of a show-and-tell environment, which is people.
Wow, what an experience. And you said you had a word of knowledge or an experience before you went. That could have alerted you to what maybe God was going to do.
Yes, and I had a couple other, what I would call words of knowledge. You know, I'd had some aches and pains in my abdomen area. And again, then when I got there, I did not know how common the liver issues are and some of the problems they have. So there were other settings where I would remember that toward the end of a talk I was giving, and then just share that if anybody was happened to be there that had that kind of a condition. And I found without fail at least a few people, sure. But in each and every case, there were improvements from the symptoms point of view.
Wonderful, wonderful results. It's another point you made an interesting point. He says, as they saw, as a few people stood up, and as they saw others standing up, their faith began to grow. They had some confidence to, you know, join in. That was an interesting thing. In fact, that's probably why we have your testimonies today, which are telling us, because people will hear, and then they'll think, maybe that's possible for myself, or I want that myself. and they'll join in this movement. It is a world movement now, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and I was, it was interesting because I didn't know what to expect with regards to where they were with their understanding of God's touching people, or you, and I use that terminology because it's not a Christian word. God touches people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way I taught it there, that by the way, this, and it's not spooky, it's not weird. God actually likes his people, and that's the way it happened with Jesus, is the way it happened with the apostles and all through history in a maybe a month than I saw in 6 months before. It's just, I'm sure some of that's teaching and longevity and all that stuff, but just God seems to be interested in doing things, and it's the way he's moving on his people right now, and I just love being in the middle of it. And that was what I was trying to share with them.
Nerve with me, you know, just as I was explaining to you maybe before we started about the healing of the man that had an instantaneous creation of an arm. He had only a hand.
Yeah.
And as I found out by talking to other people from India and that have been to India, in fact, I was talking to a doctor, and he was explaining that the lack of iodine, and I got the whole story about the lack of iodine, why they have these deformities, and that's one of the deformities. It's a natural thing that happens, and they also have retardation. And just as you're talking about the liver, but I had somebody on the program just a few days ago. He was talking about demonic spirits and that, and spiritual influence on people. The child in the gestation period is being attacked, just a medical angle that's also causing it. Okay, would you agree to that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm a little shy to tell one of the stories because it's unusual to people, but Okay, this was the second week we were there. And I just, before we go there, I did a roll-up of how many people were healed and anybody it just happened of. And then another 9 people received what we called sovereign healings. From that story I told you when I had the prayer for eyes, one of the women in the second week, she came forward to give testimony to what God had done. She came and she said that when I said that, she saw a heavenly light coming from me. She saw it physically, and that's when she stood up because she had eye problems. And another woman heard that, and then I got testimony a few days later. When she heard that, she got excited, and she felt a heat in her chest area, and she had a tumor on her breast and was scheduled for a mastectomy. We never prayed for this, never even knew about it. She just felt a heat when she heard that testimony on eyes. She felt a heat in the area where the tumor was. And of course, to be discreet, she couldn't check it at the time. She went home and the tumor was completely gone, and she called and canceled the mastectomy the next day. So it was just a fascinating thing to see that happen. Again, what the Bible calls faith, or the idea that God would do for me what he's doing for somebody else, or he cares about me and he'll move. When they heard about it, the other person got excited and God touched them also.
Wow. I was raised with the teachers saying, "Thing, if what God will do for somebody else, he'll do for you." And as you've been bringing up there, when they see this happening to other people, they begin to believe it's possible for themselves. And we started to talk about a demonic spiritual component to some of these miracles. Can you tell me anything about that?
Yes. The original founder of the churches, he founded, oh goodness, I think it was 18 or 22 churches in the tribal areas around the compound I was in. So he had started the church in the orphanage, and he died a bit young, of course. His brother pastors another church in a city that's maybe 2 hours away, and I don't know, it's not 2 hours by distance the same way we do. It takes a little longer to travel, but a couple hours from there. And I stayed with them the second week, did another conference there, and ministered to some of the churches that they work with in that area. So it basically extended us out. And I actually went out to some of the house meetings and night meetings and stuff into their homes at night in the far-flung villages. And it was really a fun time. At any rate, I was at his place. His daughter, he has a 22-year-old daughter. He has a number of kids, but he had a 22-year-old daughter who was active in the ministry, and she had died a year ago from cerebral malaria. She had gotten malaria, and it had spread to her brain, and then she ended up passing away, and she had been recently married to one of his pastors, and the pastor, of course, was grieving. And actually, he's getting remarried here shortly, so I think God's restoring some of the things that were there, and it's God comforting them, I believe, and not he can never take away the pain or loss of somebody, but it allows this man to live a full life out again. At any rate, I was there, and they were doing a memorial service. I went to their memorial service in the morning. It was actually an all-day affair. The young lady who had died, they have like a burial mound. They took me out to where they had buried her a year before, and they do a service. There were probably 50 or 60 people there, mostly family and friends. And they sing, talk about, I would call it a eulogy, where a few different people speak about who she was and how she touched them. It gives people a chance to do another farewell, especially for people who die out of season. I thought that was something that would be a blessing here in the U.S. as well. But at any rate, they poured flowers, little flower blossoms, over the grave. These were yellow. That's the season they're in, the particular flower that's blooming. And then they planted candles on the grave mound in the dirt, lit candles as they sang, and then they left the area. And we went back to the home, and they actually took over a whole city street, put canopies up, and had a two-hour memorial service in the afternoon, and there were pastors from all over the region that came in. And the pastors are actually quite well educated. They're usually masters of divinity, and some of them are PhD-level people. So it's kind of fascinating to be in a culture that's mostly, you know, farming, and at the same time to have such a highly educated group of people. But the Indians are really big on higher education. At any rate, the pastors were there, and they all shared in turn, and they had me speak. I had a couple days earlier, this is where it gets kind of fascinating with demonic spirits. A couple days earlier, one of my prayer people here in the States had sent me a note that when they were praying, they saw in a vision or just a picture flash across in front of them of like crows or black birds, large black birds circling over me, and just wanted to warn me that the enemy, either that's, maybe that means demons, maybe it means something, wasn't sure, just to be aware that there's a stir in what you're doing. So while I was preparing for that meeting, I sensed the Lord saying I needed to speak to the spirits of death and darkness that have tried to swallow the family and the ministry through the death of this young lady, because she was so active and part of what they did. And while I was there, I stood up and talked, and I told my interpreter, who was, again, Pastor Abraham, I said, please don't interpret when I tell you. I don't think it's for the congregation to hear this, but I do want to speak and command that they release and let people live. And he said, okay. So I went through my comments of encouragement. I shared some scriptures about how sometimes, you know, Isaiah 57 talks about how sometimes when people die young, God's actually sparing them trouble that they might face in the future, and we don't think that way very well. So just be aware that the person that's probably is really happy in heaven, even though we're sad that we lost them here, it's important to remember that. But at any rate, we went through the meeting, and I got to that point, and while I was talking, a flock of raven-like birds flew over and landed in a tree next to the road. Maybe 100 or 150 of these birds, just like she'd seen in the vision. And that was when I told him not to interpret this, but to just go quiet. And he told the congregation that I wanted to pray, but in English, and that those that don't know English wouldn't understand it. And I commanded the spirits of death in Jesus' name to depart and leave this family alone. And I commanded life, life, life over the congregation. As I said that, a person, maybe five or six rows back, there were probably 300 people spilled out under the city street, under the canopy, erupted with shrieking and shaking, and actually a few people attended to her. This wasn't a common part of what they do. And I just quickly said, I was on the PA, and I said, please interpret this. I said, it's not uncommon when we're addressing demonic beings as somebody who might be influenced or something that's happening, that something occurs like this. Don't let it bother you. We just want to go on. And then she did that. They prayed for her. She calmed down, and we went on with the service. And then the birds, as I spoke, the birds lifted off of that tree and flew away and left.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just absolutely fascinated with the, I guess, a physical symbol of what we were doing spiritually at that moment. And I was really on the point of tears, because, you know, the loss of a 22-year-old, I have daughters, and just I know the hurt, or I can only imagine the hurt, I should say. I don't know the hurt of loss of a child at that age. And I didn't have words for them to comfort other than that, that God is their comforter. But I do know they're not supposed to live out of that bruise or that shadow the rest of their life. They're meant to be cheerful and go on. That's what she would want. So that's what I was ministering to them. Oh, and by the way, the husband, the wife, that woman who was shrieking and her husband came to me an hour later. They all stayed and ate a meal together. And, you know, that it was like a big get together in the compound area. They came to me, the pastors brought them to me and said they wanted to say something, and they thanked me for addressing the spiritual condition and that something had lifted off of that woman that had been tormenting her at that moment, and God had touched her in a very strong way, and they were thanking me. And I was just, I don't know, humbled by how God had moved and perhaps had driven off something that was trying to harass this woman.
Wow, the word you used is humbled. That would be my experience too, when I see how the things of God and the spiritual world work, and God allows me to see that and be involved. It humbles you. In the last program that I recorded, we talked with a man that's involved in deliverance, and we were talking about the physical or natural manifestation of spiritual things, and we got into science. There is a correlation and reaction between the spiritual world, the demonic world, the godly angelic world, and the natural world. And sometimes as Christians, in a way we believe, we separate those worlds like they're not tangible, but they are tangible. And when God brings that revelation to you like he did, it is wonderful. It is wonderful. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, because I would have, in that setting, you know, that's as extreme a thing that I've ever done. It took some boldness on my part that I don't usually walk in, you know, to do that in the middle of a service. I suppose it helped that I didn't know them. You know, they weren't friends and family. but that, you know, meaning I would have, you wonder what people are going to think. That really wasn't part of the equation, because it'll be unlikely that I see these people again, or if I do, it'll be for short times in a setting over there. So it caused me to say, you know, whatever I do here, I might just as well do the right thing and not worry about the outcome. I just sense God's voice saying to do this, so I'm going to obey. And that's what I did.
And the final statement here is, you want to do the right thing. You want to be right. You know, you're not trying to force anything on anybody. And God shows up. He shows up and shows his nature, his attitude, his abilities. Wonderful. If you would like, could you pray for our audience today, those people that have heard what you're saying, and they're saying, I want that too. I want to see that and experience that too. Could you pray for them?
Sure, sure. Father, right now I pray for the listening audience that in Jesus' name you'd release your touch, Father, just like I did over in India. Right now I release your presence, Father. I release and command a new revelation coming to people where you would speak to them and supernaturally move in their lives. Then in Jesus' name, Father, they'd have words of knowledge. They would have you speaking to them about how to pray, what to say, when to do it. And Lord, it would not seem strange or unusual, but it would seem normal to them. Not that we overlook it and make it passe in any way, Father, but in other words, we treasure it, Father, but at the same time, we have a new normal where we walk with you, experiencing things that we've read in the Bible in our lives at whatever level we're at. Lord, I ask you for that in Jesus' name, and I release your presence right now. Thank you, Lord.
And God moved, and it was so simple. It wasn't complicated.
No complication to it at all. It was just basically, he wants to touch you. He's saying that to you. That was why he sent me to you and wants you to do this same stuff. So I'm going to demonstrate how he does it. And it's kind of a show and tell environment. It's just people.
Wow, what an experience. Oh, that's wonderful. I thank you today, Pastor Lauren Woodrick. God bless.
Thank you.
Jesus took a walk by the water side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus told the man at
up your nets and to follow me. You've been fishing in the sea for such a long time, and now these days are coming to an end.
Walking by the sea of Galilee.
Come right now and walk along with me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome. I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110.
Everyone that I see, you know the keys to the kingdom are the secret to success. To loose the Holy Ghost and the Son, the devil's in the phone booth, down at 911. Well, the devil's in the phone booth, down at 911. Yeah, the church is on their knees and they're loading up the spiritual gun. Well, the devil thought he had us, but the tables were turned. And now he's on the run. The devil's in the phone booth.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.